just got 5 minutes left with the professor of passing, Ron Jaworski and Buddy. Let's start with Rex Grossman. I mean, I looked at that protection in the first half, and I saw John Tate. I saw a half-decent job from him sometimes. Other times, they were coming right around the corner. They didn't keep backs in. It didn't look like it was just Rex Grossman's fault.
Well, it never is, you know, the quarterback's fault in totality. You know, every quarterback in this league must have protection. But quite honestly, Rex was struggling. I thought he had a solid game last night, did not turn the football over. And when he was struggling, you know, prior weeks to last night, he was making poor decisions with the football, not seeing the field with clarity, you know, not throwing the football accurately. I thought yesterday, you know, he settled down a little bit and was seeing the field better. And when you're with the Bears and that offense, that solid defense and their great special teams, just be a caretaker with the football.
Well, let's finish off. Do you think that this is really the sign that Rex can be the guy the rest of the year? And do you put your money on Baltimore or Chicago at this point?
No, I got my money on San Diego. I got to throw them in there. I think right now they are playing the most consistent football of any team in the league. They have all
in the AFC.
In the NFC, I'm going to still stay with Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Drew Brees, without Joe Horn, absolutely decimates Dallas. Who's the MVP at this point? Do you give it to LT, or do you think that Drew Brees, given how valuable he is to his team?
Well, I think, Nick, when you look at this, you almost could segregate it. Of course, there are 3 weeks to go in the season, but I think if you talk about player of the year, it's got to be LaDainian Tomlinson. If you talk about most valuable player, it's got to be Drew Brees. I don't think the Saints would be where they are at if they had anyone else quarterbacking that team but Drew Brees. I'm actually, you know, looking at the game right now at my office at NFL Films, sitting with Greg Cosell, and the one thing we're talking about is the great job that Sean Payton, the head coach, and Doug Marrone, the offensive coordinator, have done. In this game, they are really doing a great job of anticipating the Cowboys' coverage. A lot of man-to-man schemes, so the Saints are running a lot of picks and rubs and doing the things to get the receivers open. So clearly, Brees understands what they want to do, and the coach is setting him up for success.
Every week it seems like you're about to crown one team as a Super Bowl favorite. Dallas seemed to be that, certainly on Thanksgiving Day, and then suddenly it's almost as if the emperor has no clothes. What is the difference this year? I've never seen a season where from week to week teams are so inconsistent.
Well, I think it's exactly what the National Football League is about. You know, you think of this league as parity, although I think in previous years we've seen more teams in playoff contention. It looks like, you know, the playoff picture, although except in a few situations, is pretty clear. And I think there is a separation from the top-tier teams as well. I think if you look at the AFC, you have San Diego, Baltimore. I think you have a significant fall after that. I think the NFC, you have to look at the Bears. You have to look at New Orleans. You have to look at the Cowboys. I think after that you have a significant fall off. So, yeah, there may be parity, but I still think the dominant teams are dominant.
I'll tell you what, man, I put a quarter in the machine, and you spit it out, brother. You were the best. Listen, one last question, which is,
sure, Nick.
It's interesting how the media today in sports will crown someone, not just a Super Bowl champion, but a Hall of Famer after 5-6 weeks or 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 seasons. We talked yesterday with Sam Huff and Len Dawson about the talk about LT, and Marty Schottenheimer is a loyal coach. He's a great coach, best coach I ever had, but he was saying that LT is the greatest running back he's ever had. Here's Sam Huff.
Thanks, Sam. Oh, he had sunglasses on. Marty Schottenheimer never played against Jim Brown, okay? I think maybe Emmitt Smith, you can compare him to that. Maybe, I don't know, Emmitt's got taken up dancing now, so I don't know. Running backs are running backs. You know, they're just as good as their offensive line, and that's it. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and the way they play defense now, you're not allowed to hit anybody with your helmet, and the offensive line are allowed to grab the defensive line, and the only time they call holding is when they take them down. So this game has changed since Jim Brown played, and I'll tell you what, under today's rules, if you give that ball to Jim Brown in his prime, you wouldn't even mention Tomlinson.
You know, with all due respect to LT, who is absolutely doing things that haven't been done before, Jim Brown's still my pick.
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and clearly Jim Brown was a great player. Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, you can go on and on and on. And I'm not going to say, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson is the greatest running back ever, but certainly Marty Schottenheimer believes that. He coaches the guy. He's with him every single day. I could understand why Marty Schottenheimer feels so strongly about LaDainian Tomlinson, and actually why the San Diego Chargers feel so strongly about LT. If you saw what happened when he scored that 29 touchdown, you saw the entire offensive line, the quarterback, the fullback Lorenzo Neal, the wide receivers all go there and hoist LaDainian in the air. That's how strongly they feel about him. So I could understand where Marty Schottenheimer's coming from.
And he is certainly, you can make the argument, and I will, that he is the most versatile running back of all time.
Well, I never saw Jim Brown throw a touchdown pass, and I've seen LaDainian do quite a few of them. But you know, that's what makes the game so great, Nick. You know, there are different eras of the game. You know, the rules change every few years. The rules change to help the offense. People like scoring. You know, and there are different eras of the game. And in his era, Jim Brown was the best. I think you could say Emmitt Smith, Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, their eras were the best. Maybe in this era, in the 21st century, LaDainian Tomlinson is the best. Pretty hard to argue that right now.
Ron Jaworski, you are the best, my friend. Who's your pick this week? What's the biggest game of the week?
Well, you know, it's interesting how it's going to play out, because there's a big game Saturday night, Dallas and Atlanta. That could change how big of a magnitude the game in Philadelphia at New York will be, because if Dallas loses, the Eagles and the Giants could be looking at getting back into a first-place tie in the NFC East. So clearly some big games over the weekend.
Well, thanks for joining us. You are absolutely the best, my friend.
Thanks.
We'll be listening.
Always great to be with you. It was good to be with Coach Levy, a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame person.
He certainly is. Thanks, Josh.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Go back to work. Go back to the cave, buddy. Hey, we are switching over to the baseball beat with our reporter, a guy that delivers it every single week, Jim Beattie, a man who's been a two-time general manager for the Expos, and I call him general manager, vice president certainly for the Orioles. Jim Beattie, it's been crazy the last few weeks. What do you have for us?
Well, Nick, you know, they've been spending the money. As I said earlier, they have a new agreement with the players' union. It went down very easily, so obviously everybody feels like they're flush with cash. And when that happens, owners are ready to spend it, and they've been spending it. They've been spending it on some players that are really, especially starting pitching, that's a commodity out there. And some of the guys out there that are signing for $8 to $10 million a year are really number three, number four starters in a rotation. So it would be amazing to think what an ace in his prime might be getting in this. And I guess maybe we'll find that out. Zito may be one of those guys. I think... he is an ace, he is in his prime, and he's ready to sign a big contract, probably looking at about 16, possibly even $18 million
a year. Well, some of the general managers whisper behind the scenes that they've got to educate their owners to understand, and the fans, that these big contracts may look good in print, they may show that the team is committed to trying to find the best players for the team, but later they bite you right in the butt.
Well, you know what happens is they go, especially when you go to the winter meetings. The winter meetings... And if Barry Bonds can show up at the winter meetings looking for a job, any player can. And that's what happens. They parade these players around in front of the media, around in front of the general managers. You have meetings, you call the agent up, you call the player, and you meet with both of them. And you say all those good things, but in the end, you got to come up with a contract for them. And it's tough for general managers. When they want to try to improve their club, they go to the winter meetings thinking, and just as they did at the GM meetings, thinking either a trade or signing a free agent. But when the dollars go wild, you have to explain to your fans through the media, and sometimes your owner, because the owner's ready to spend some money. You have to tell him, wait a minute, let's step back and look at reality here. This guy, if we signed him to that $10 million contract, there's a very good chance he could underperform that contract over the long run. He may give you 1 year or 2 years, but certainly not five or six. And the GMs try to do that, but sometimes the general managers take a look at the short run too, because if they take a look at the long run, they may not be around for the long run.
How much does it vary, Jim Beattie, from team to team? We know the George Steinbrenner is going to be very different from the Royals ownership, certainly, but how much does it vary in terms of the personalities and how you approach each different owner?
Well, it depends on how involved each owner is. As you said, mentioned George Steinbrenner. I worked with an owner, Jeffrey Loria, who owns the Marlins now. He owned the Expos when I was with them. And these guys get very involved. They get involved where they directly deal with the agent. And the agents like that. They like to talk to ownership because they're the guys with the wallet. They're the guys with the cash. They don't have to talk to a general manager and have the general manager say, I'll get back to you. But the general manager has a much better feel for the market. And an owner may say, I want that guy, I don't care how much it costs. And that's why the agents like to go and talk to the owners directly. Now, certainly there are some ownership groups that aren't involved because they are exactly that. They aren't a single owner like a Steinbrenner, but they're a group that have to make decisions in meetings. And when that happens, things happen a little more slowly. And so the agents try to use it when you have an owner that likes to be involved. They like to cut through all of the talking that has to go on and go right to the guy with the wallet.
In our last 30 seconds of this segment, what is Dayton Moore thinking? How is he able to accomplish, and how big a deal is it to get Gilmesh, a reasonably good, not necessarily great pitcher, for a small market team like Kansas City?
Well, Kansas City has some good bats coming along. They need some pitching, and those young bats won't cost them much money for the next couple years. Probably with Mesh's five-year contract, in the third or fourth year of his contract, those bats are going to be looking for money. And so for the time being, he has money in his payroll. He can spend it on pitching. He doesn't have to spend it on bats.
When we come back with Jim Beatty and the update everybody's been waiting for, we're going to talk about Bonds re-signing, the deferred money he's getting, and also the Matsusaka situation with Theo Epstein. You're listening to Jim Beatty on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius 7.